The message this morning is the invitation. The invitation, amen? Okay, we want to make sure that everybody's been invited. Has everybody been invited now? Did everybody get the note? We sent out a special, did everybody get it? You guys didn't get the invite? You guys didn't get the invite? Oh, you came in a little bit late, huh? Didn't get the invite, Mom? Okay, you got it, okay. Has everybody RSVP'd? That was the next question, because it's important. It's important when you're invited somewhere that you let someone know. I know, like, during the parties that we're having, even on New Year's Eve, we need to know how many people are here because we're going to be supplying something. I don't know what we're doing, but I know we'll be doing something. I know the drinks and stuff like that. The church usually does a big dish or something. So has everybody RSVP'd for the invite we gave?
What invite?
Oh, my gosh. You didn't get it?
For New Year's?
No, for the invite. Didn't you get the invite? Okay, I'll just check him. I know someone's going to feel left out right now. I know someone's going to feel left out. And that was intentional. That was very intentional. Because that's how we are sometimes. We are so busy in everything else. We don't know where we're going from one day to the next. Anybody else? And sometimes we find ourselves like that. We'll hear something and we'll think, yeah, I'm already in, or I've already let them know. But we haven't. We haven't made and take the time to RSVP, which, you know, reserve. You got to tell them so people are ready. And it's important, you know, if someone feels you that you're important enough to invite you, you should let them know that I'm concerned. I can go, I want to be there, but I can't be there. Instead of just being there. And I think we all do that. So someone's going to be felt a little upset because they're not there. But that it will not be my fault if I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing to let people know. And it's our job sometimes. Sometimes people, we expect people to do some things. They know I got something going on, but we never ask them to do something. And then we find out when they haven't done anything, we're upset with them. Anybody else? I think we all do it. We plan. We anticipate others that, you know, they just should be there. They know it's my party. Well, did you ask them? No, but they know it's my party. They should be there. Anybody? I think we've all been there. But have you made the decision today to go? Go with me to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Bring your Bibles. Mark them up. Write in them. Amen. Isaiah 55 verse 1 says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money, without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and a commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who you do not know shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you." Let's pray this morning. Father, we ask you this morning to come. Lord, we invite you into our lives this morning. Lord, you're so important in our lives. You're the number one guest today. And Lord, today we say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for inviting us here this morning. Thank you by the Holy Spirit that each one has been invited even into this place, into this covering, into the presence of God. You invite us here. And Lord, we heeded to the invitation. We're here today. And Lord, thank you for this opportunity to come. Thank you, Lord, that we didn't have something else to do, something more important. But today you are the most important thing in our lives. So we are here this morning. Thank you, Lord, for inviting us. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever missed an opportunity to buy something or get something, and then right after you were so disappointed for not making the right decision? You ever seen an opportunity in life? Anybody? And then all of a sudden it was maybe too good to be true, and you're like, oh, I don't know. And then all of a sudden it's gone. And you're like, oh my gosh, I should have done that. Anybody? Yeah. Oh my gosh, it's been me a million times. I should be a trillionaire. But I didn't jump on the opportunity. I think we all do that. Something comes along and we think, oh, then we just totally blow it off. And then next thing we know, what? They got what? They got TV at the Christmas party? Come on. Don't we do that sometimes? We feel disappointed because we make sometimes the wrong decisions. Anybody? And it happens. Ever said, I'm not going to do that again? Well, we all do that without intending to. We do. It's common to our nature. But today we're going to examine how important it is to answer God when he calls, and the importance to come when we're invited, because many are called and few are chosen. Go with me to Luke in chapter 2 this morning. I think we all have opportunities each day. And this is why we need to be in the right place. This is why we have to be in the right mind, and that's in that place with God. That we say, you know what, I don't want to miss it. I want to be attentive to everything that approaches me or I approach. It's hard because we're multitasking every day. The computer is a wonderful thing. The technology today is wonderful. But it will also take up more time than we really need to spend in it. Anybody? Luke 2 and verse 8 says this. Now there in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring to you tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And it will be for you, it will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel of a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace, goodwill towards men. So it was when the angels had gone away from the into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known and saying which was told them, marveled at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all things that they have heard and seen and told them. Let me move this a little bit because I'm catching those lights. Let me go that way. I can't read this thing. Amen. These men were invited to one of the most important times in history. One of the most important times in history. I guarantee you in my life, it was the most important time in history. The Savior was born. No longer meant to die and had to die. This is probably the greatest time in the earth, amen? And so if you look again, look at Luke 2:9-19. It says, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord showed around them, and they were greatly afraid. Why? Why? Do you ever get a gut feeling when God speaks to you? Anybody else? Anytime there's something supernatural, one way or the other, I get people that have a fear sometimes when they know the devil. Do you ever know when there's a presence or an evil presence? Anybody sense this? We sense this. Do you ever get a presence when the Holy Spirit, when God is speaking to you? You should have the presence. There should be almost a fears like this and that. This is decision-making times. This is a decision-making time. I believe that God speaks to us every day. He's a faithful God. He says, read my word every day. If God's saying this, or get up and pray, or if he's saying something else, God is speaking to you this day. Amen? Amen. So we know the postal service, FedEx, UPS, or even telegram was sent. Someone's going to say, what's a telegram? Does everybody know what a telegram is? This is really going to date me right here. A telegram. Not an Instagram. A telegram. This was when they actually had kids or people would run around. They would get a letter and they would run to your house and hand it to you in person. Can you imagine? And now instantly it's in your hand. So tell me we're not technologically advanced. Amen. But there were those days that they were telegrams. Not Instagram. Oh, Pastor, you're saying it wrong. No telegram. Amen. That's for us growing up without an iPhone, computers, or even the internet. Can you imagine that? People say, Grandpa, you grew up with no internet or no iPhone? Well, we grew up okay, I think. I think I'm okay. Amen. We need to realize the magnitude of the proclamation of his coming before he came. We need to understand something today, that there is nothing in your phone that isn't generated, that something has already been done or the evidence of it to be. There's no prophecy in phone. There is not. We need to understand something. In most religions, all other religions, nobody proclaimed of their king coming before like Jesus Christ. We need to understand something. There's a proclamation for everything. The reason I'm so sure that the things in the Bible are true is because they were said they were going to happen before they ever did. They came to pass and they still will. No other religion, no other church, no other things. I don't care what it is. You can't get to heaven. You cannot wait a while and then get into heaven. You cannot die. There's no purgatory. There's no place you can go. There's no second chance. We have to RSVP while we're here on the earth today. Okay? And the reason it said that, because we have enough evidence. We don't have to make sure when we get there. There is a surety in Jesus Christ. He was born. There was an invitation. These three men were invited before he was ever here. They didn't all of a sudden hear of a baby. No, heavenly host invited them. That means God sent his messengers. Hallelujah. We need to realize the magnitude of the proclamation of his coming before he came. The Old Testament was the total proclamation of Jesus' coming and his victory and resurrection. Just like the prophets of old, major and minor, as well as every person of what they did, good or bad, were used for the glory of God. Amen. It was used for the glory of God. Oh, you mean that? No, Pastor, that did not glorify God. Everything, every person, everything has been done for the glory of God. We need to understand something here. God just didn't create the good. He created everything. Wait a minute, Pastor. The devil, evil kings, false teachers, selfish disciples, and even the men that fell from grace is used for the glory? Listen to this. Colossians 1 and 16 says this. For by him all things were created. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. We need to understand something right now. God, all of a sudden, it isn't a big fight. The devil and God had a big battle, and we still believe that. We still believe that there's battle, and there's a battle going on for your soul, but the battle has already been won. Yeah. Come on, we need to see something. God had a plan for his, and he has counted on everything to happen. And the devil and his works. Listen to this. Revelation 4 and 11 says this. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things. And by your will they will exist and were created. God has always announced his intentions. He's a gracious God. From the beginning, God himself said, he told the devil, look at this in Genesis 3 and 14. So the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. God didn't lose the battle in Adam and win the war in Jesus. God has always been in control. Amen. He's always king. He's always God. Somehow, in this way that the devil has lied, even in the use, we think, oh, there's still a battle going on. And even in the beginning, it was the devil and God, and they were fighting. And God and the devil won the first battle. We need to understand something. God never lost his throne. He has been the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords from the very beginning. God has always had a plan, and he proclaimed what he was going to do. The battle plan was set from the very beginning. We're not in a fallen world. We're not this because he already had a plan. He had a plan of attack from the very beginning. You know what? He entrusts in what we're going to do. Oh, you mean when I make those mistakes? He don't love that. But he knew we were going to do what we were going to do. He knew why you were here today. Most of us are here today because I could not live in the world of today. I was dead. I was dead in sin. I was dead in my mind. Some people say, you know what? If you ever think about going back, I'd have to go crawl in the grave somewhere because that life was over. And he knew even in my worst. He even said in Romans, he said, when you were at your worst, I loved you.
That's right.
Come on. Listen, Jesus has always had a plan, been announcing his coming and purpose, but I have acknowledged, but have we acknowledged and responded to his invitation? Have you responded to God's invitation today? It's important. Sometimes we show up. You ever crash a party? We got any party crashers today? He says this, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Do we open the door and pretend, or pretend we're not at home? Anybody? Yes. People come over. Yeah. Behold, I stand in the door and knock. Do we pretend we're not home? Oh, come on, some of us do that. How important is it to be truthful and answer even if we're not at our best? Oh, I don't want you to see me this way. Well, but they could probably have seen you worst. And we're like that sometimes. And God's speaking today, and I tell you, some of us are acting like we're not home. Who here would like to see signs and wonders? I want to see the miraculous works of God. Listen to this. Angel said, and this will be a sign to you. He was talking to those three shepherds. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. And suddenly there was an angel of multitude and heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. Listen. I love music. I cry in my truck. I put worship music on. And what's his name? Bocelli? And what's the other girl? Dion and Butch, you know, the song? He begins to sing and I cry. It's angelic. I like to see signs and wonders, but I would love to see the heavenly host sing for me. Can you imagine being out there in the field? Out there, worked all day, sitting around a fire, and all of a sudden they get a big concert of heavenly hosts singing glory in the highest? These are signs and wonders. Who would like to see these things? Who would like to see the blind, see the lame, walk? People be healed instantly, delivered and set free. How awesome would that be? Invited to such a wonderful time as the birth of Jesus. Listen to this. And yet they were invited to things, and yet we're invited to things of the Lord. And we can find excuses all the time. Matthew 22:1 says this, and Jesus answered and spoke to them again by the parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding. And they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants saying, tell those that are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his servants and treated them spitefully and killed them. Verse 7, but when the king had heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite them to the wedding. So those servants went into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. God, he's faithful. He's so faithful. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. And when the king had came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, friend, how did you come here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, cast him into outer darkness. There will be no weep. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Was the Lord so angry that the man wasn't dressed for the wedding that he cast him out? Does God want you perfect to enter that invitation to answer today? Does he want you perfect? Are you dressed perfect today? Are you in a perfect place in your life today? If God was to come today, would he say, I'm sorry, I don't like your shoes. I don't like what you're wearing. No, it's that he hadn't answered the invitation when it was presented. And you just can't get in when you miss that opportunity. Have we missed opportunities? Oh, I should have done that. Should have went there. Should have did that. Remember, how bad did it feel when you missed that opportunity? But this invitation comes, and how often do we have something else to do more important?
That's right.
When God's calling himself, not the church, not the pastor, not the religion, but when God speaks to our hearts, how often? For many are called, but few are chosen. Isaiah 55:1 again says, Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, yes, come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Do we ever spend things? Do we ever get done with Christmas even and say, man, I shouldn't have done that. Shouldn't have spent all that. And you were thinking, trying so hard to do everything you could. And then at the end, it just seems like, you know, I see a commercial where, you know, what did you do with your Christmas? And then this kid's getting his little car ran over by a big car. And sometimes you're like, oh, wish I hadn't spent that kind of money. Listen. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen to me carefully and eat what is good and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader, the commander of the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations you do not know shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you.
Amen.
Note this, that when God invites you something, you don't become something greater. You enter into something greater. Thus, you are greater. And this is what God is saying to you. He's saying, when you answer this, it has far more benefits than anything that else that you're being called to. What could be better invitation than to come and buy with no money? King and royalty, we are called into it. Things and places, other nations come and give them to you because you're of the royal blood today. If you're thirsty, come drink water, milk, and yes, even wine. He's talking about the new wine. He's not talking about that wine in a corkscrew. He's talking about the new wine here. Come and buy new wine. A wine that you never thirst again. And water that you never thirst again. A new wine, a new life in your blood. A new blood supply. Glory to God. The invitation still stands. And what would your answer be today? Sure, you're still finding more important things to do. Even you know the Lord is asking you something. And if you don't do it, you're answering no.
That's right.
When God speaks to us, when he asks us to do something, and then we say, Lord, I have something better to do, the answer is no to God. He said, I'm inviting you. Oh, I got to do something. I got it. I know we have busy lives, but there's sometimes that God, and you know in your heart, God is wanting you to do something. That's an invitation from the Lord himself. Heavenly hosts, better than that, God is calling you. By doing something else, he's answering him no. I'm going to close with this morning. We're going to have some altar time. Oh, Pastor, I know God is calling me to spend more time and read more of his word, but I'm just too busy and tired. Matthew 11:28 says this, Come to me, all that you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden light. This is the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't send a messenger here. He was the messenger here. And far too often we're finding ourselves far too busy, even for the things of God. And this morning he's given us an invitation. He's sending it from his heavenly host, from the word of God. Maybe we're just trying to do too much in our own strength. And he's saying, today I want you to enter into my strength. Hallelujah. Let's stand this morning.